Hello, everyone. This is Tableau. We recorded this episode about a month prior, as we've had to do at times this year. But before we get to today's episode, I'd like to ask all of you to join me in doing something, if it's okay. If you're able to, please consider joining me in donating to community bail funds and Black-owned businesses in the United States. I'll provide the links on this episode's description. I appreciate anyone donating, and even if you can't, I know you will stand in solidarity against injustice in your own way. Thank you.
You're listening to your Tableau podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tableau podcast. Welcome to the Tableau podcast. Hey, Diane. So, have you ever called in, like, for help?
Oh, they're going to say you're a radio show and I was about to say yes.
And have you ever because you needed someone to hear you out or someone to talk to? Have you called anywhere? Like, you know those numbers?
Hotlines? Yeah. No.
Okay. Well, they sort of don't… Well, it's not easy to now because you have all these different apps and like services, right?
Yeah.
But a long time ago, before all that, you would have a phone number that you can like call into. Like a hotline, if you're going through something, right? And there was this thing called Teen Reach. It was for like high school kids.
Okay.
And I was one of the volunteers.
Oh.
To be like receiving the phone calls and giving advice. And this was in Korea. I went to an international school, and they were like. They were gathering volunteers for this Teen Reach program, where it would be like peers hearing peers out, and it was anonymous calls, so like people can call and they don't say their name, and it was mostly for underclassmen. This was towards the end of my high school.
Oh, so this is like within your school?
Yeah, I think this was my senior year.
Okay,
and someone was like, "Yo." Like I was Dan at the time. They're like, "Yo, Dan, you should volunteer for that." And I'm like, "Why?" And they're like, "I don't know."
New York Mike is crazy.
They're like, "I don't know."
Just making conversation. Damn, you don't need to come.
I'm like, "All right." And
then they would go, "Actually, fucking no, don't do it."
And then I signed up for it.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And then a friend of mine named Hansun. Hansun and me, Hansun and I, we paired up. So what did it… Okay, so there's this church. I don't know if it's still around, but there's this church in Seoul. And we would go there. And it was… I think it was like once a week. But like… It would be there every day, but they had different volunteers for each day, right? And we would go… And we'd go inside this office area inside the church. And I don't know why they had us in a church. But so we're in this place with a phone. And you would have to sit from a certain time to a certain time waiting for phone calls. Okay? And then if you get a phone call, you try your best to give them advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was usually for like freshmen or sophomores or like middle school kids, that have to, like, that need advice from like peers, but upperclassmen.
Yeah.
And it was called Teen Reach. So we get there the first day, you know, no one's calling, basically. And it's not even like a system where they can text us or like leave a comment, right? We just have to literally wait by the phone. And that's what we were doing. And then no one's calling. We have to keep each other entertained. So we're like just telling each other, you know, stupid stuff. And just like, you know, just like taking turns slapping each other.
I hate boys. And then you guys are giggling and you're like, "Man, you're my best friend."
Yeah, I love you, man. Yeah. I love you. till the end of time, Hans. And then no one's calling. Hours pass. And we're like, I'm like, dude, this is great. First of all, I get to chill here with a friend.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be home. And also, obviously, our school's doing a lot better than we thought.
Because literally
no one is calling.
Yeah.
And then we get the first phone call. It was like
a rotary phone.
No, it's like somebody decided to look at Bruce Wayne just decided to be Batman.
Uh-huh.
And he's like waiting for like crime to happen.
Yeah.
Or something to happen so he can go out and like be the hero.
Yeah.
And nothing bad is happening. Right after he decides to become Batman.
Yeah.
And then you get the call. So I'm like, Hansen and I are like, oh my God. Who's gonna pick up? You pick up. No, you pick up. You pick up.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone. They're like, hello? I'm like, hi, this is Teen Reach. You can talk to us. Just tell us what you want to talk about. And then they start into it. And it seems like, they're troubled. And then they start like laughing their asses off. And then they hang up. And I'm like,
oh.
Prank call, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God. Yo, dude, it was a prank. And we're like, just slapping each other again. anyways, like nothing really big happened.
Oh, okay.
That day. And then I go back to school and I ask the other guys that are doing this. Like, do you guys get calls? And they're like, some prank calls. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, when are the real calls going to come in? And it was like this for a while. Like, I think people just thought it was a joke maybe.
Yeah.
Plus, maybe they weren't totally comfortable talking to someone in their school. Right? Maybe we didn't think this out. Maybe we should have had like a professional there.
I mean, you want to talk about phone anxiety.
Eventually, like, they had a professional sit with us.
Okay.
Or whatever they said it was a professional. I'm not really sure. It could have just been someone's mom. But eventually, we did get a couple calls where one kid was like, suicidal. And it was not easy for me to like help because obviously like I was not a professional and I was just not equipped for it or ready for it. But I did hear them out and at the end they were like, at least thank you. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I don't know how I can like really help.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, thank you for listening. And that was the value of it.
Yeah.
Right. But mostly it was prank calls and us and me and Hansun or me and New York Mike just slapping each other constantly.
If only the person on the other line knew like, oh, this is who's on the other side, on the other line.
But what I just remembered this because I realized that now a lot of people are using my socials like a hotline.
Mm, yeah.
Which is fine. Like my IG, my Instagram, like a lot of the comments and also DMs are like asking for advice. And then I was reminded of Teen Reach during high school and how I was so bad at it. And now I try, but like I was saying, you need to talk to somebody that is better prepared for it. And maybe celebrities aren't or musicians or actors aren't the people you should go to for expecting some solutions.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are also confused as hell. and have no one to talk to. But I do try to respond once in a while when I feel like they do need it from me. But then I, you know, and then I will tell them, but you should really talk to someone if you, you think this is going to be…
like a real problem.
Like a bigger problem. Yeah.
My middle school had that.
Really? Teen Reach?
It wasn't phone call. It was called… You were a peer helper and it was a class. Like you could sign up for it as like a
elective class.
So
it wasn't
class.
Even anonymous?
Huh? I mean, it was like confidential. That's what it was. Like the idea was that it was confident. It was middle school. Like,
and you see each other face
so
to face.
So you would make like appointments with them.
Uh-huh.
And then you would like either during like lunch or like a break or something, you would meet in private, like in the classroom. Like you, it would be blocked off. Like no one was allowed to like walk in on you kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And like, it was like, you're supposed to believe it was like full confidentiality. And then like you write like what your issue is like on a piece of paper and you can like slip it in.
Uh-huh.
And then like, you know, the other kid who signed up for the class like gets it. And so like I think I recall like if you sign up for that class, like you have to go like through training. And so this was in Davis, California. And we have UC Davis, the college.
Yes.
And so they would meet with like the like psychology students and like people who are training to be counselors. To just like talk to them about like different things that might come up.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff
we
like
had,
that.
We had similar training.
Yeah, you had to do training, like sensitivity training.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, but at the same time be like, you're also a kid. So know like when you should go to an adult about certain things, you know, and stuff like that. And like what's out truly out of your hands, like blah, 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 you know. And like basically just be like, you're there more to be like a friend, you know.
Yes.
Than to be help. Yeah.
I think I had similar training. It was very bare bones though.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. So what I was trying to say is that back then, I think the reason why we didn't get many calls, like basically none, and we had to spend all that time slapping each other is because at the time it was really difficult to even fathom speaking to someone about your emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a Korean, like Korean American or Korean community or setting.
Yeah.
And I think that was the reason. I think if Teen Reach existed now and I was still in high, let's say I was in high school.
Yeah.
And we had that program and people could like, you know, like text in or like, you know.
Yeah. Maybe
chatting.
Not even have the pressure of like the voice.
Yeah. Like anonymous phone call in or whatever. I'm sure a ton of people would call. And I think it's remarkable how times have changed. And I'm glad that people are more open to talking about it. Right? Because literally that is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say it and someone's got to hear it and listen. And that's where it begins.
Yeah.
Right? You won't know to go to a professional until you take the first necessary step for someone to know and tell you to go see a professional. And I think about all the kids that were like, that were maybe picking up their phones back in those days and like thinking about calling us, but just ended up not calling us because they didn't feel like it was appropriate or that, you know, that they didn't trust it or they were too scared to like share their emotions.
Yeah.
And then being at home, being excellent students and great kids to their parents and not being able to tell anyone that they're lonely or sad or heartbroken or… you know, not happy to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder about where these kids must be now, right? Because they're probably, you know, a lot of them are probably like married. Some are going to be dads. Some are going to be moms. And I'm hoping they found some help later along the way because man, how shitty is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now it's like not trendy, but it is like it's like a thing for people to just like lay out their issues. And you know, there's obviously ways where that also is a problematic way of doing it, but like the fact that it's like such a more much more accepted thing on social media, at least like what I see with like American kids or whatever, just straight up being like, I'm hella sad today.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm bad, like but almost like nihilistically, where they'll be like, just cried, eh. Like, yo, just saw my heart out in my car alone, eh, like that.
One, you know? Big indication that it is acceptable to talk about your emotions now,
yeah,
is that rappers will have no problem saying they cried.
Yeah.
Do you know how big of a development that is?
Yeah.
For a rapper to be like, dude, I cried last night thinking about you. You know, like, even that. You know, yeah, how hard that is?
Yeah.
That was not accepted.
Yeah.
Like, no one did that.
Yeah.
They cried alone. Like, in secrecy.
Yeah.
But now, a lot of the songs are like completely open about their emotions, right? Which is a huge indication that it's way easier to talk about your emotions. The problem is what you just mentioned, because it's become so like accepted and so many people are you know, opening up through their various different platforms and channels, because so much of it is there. Now the other problem is that professionals have a hard time having to pick out the actual
like red flags,
the situations where they have to help.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's not even what I was thinking, because I know she's just an example, and I won't name who it is, but it's someone who has a platform, like she has an audience. And she would have a habit for a long time of writing like dense paragraphs, just like laying out all her problems. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was a big part of why she had an audience, was because she was so open. I can't even say what she does, but like, you know, a big attraction to her was that people felt like they could relate to her. The fact that she was so open about her issues and like her sadness and her loneliness and stuff like that. But it was clearly becoming unhealthy for her to do that, because
she felt pressured to overshare.
Not even that. She was oversharing in a way where when you're just putting it out to no one specifically, you're not actually being heard.
Yeah.
And you're whatever like catharsis you might get from expressing that, there's no resolve to it. So she did the right thing where she got professional help.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that through the professional help, her therapist said, like, stop doing that. Don't overshare on social media. Some things about your private life should be private,
mm-hmm.
or else you're going to think that that's something to sell,
mm-hmm.
or that like that's some, that like people deserve to know like every little bit about like what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're giving, at the same time, you're giving too many strangers too much power. And like that, she could see was getting to her, like for doing stuff that, like that. It's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Teen Reach was a person calling a person.
Yeah.
Right. It was one to one, and the program you had was one to one, even if it's anonymous or confidential, right? But just putting your I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to share what you're going through online, but if you're actually looking for resolve, it's hard to get it, but it's easy to just get that instant resolve, right? Instant gratification kind of resolve, where like you'll see some comments saying like, you know, I see what you're going through. Like, I hope you do better. I'm going through the same thing. And you feel a moment of like, you know, for a moment, it feels good that someone is… It feels like someone is hearing you. But the thing is, because the way the platforms are set up, it's not going to… You know, there's no next step.
And a lot of the times, people do that hoping that someone specifically is seeing it.
Yeah.
But they won't ever get that resolve or confirmation.
And if you don't get the resolve… now you're gonna be like chasing the resolve, but it all in the wrong place. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, and that's sort of what I was getting at right before this was brought up. Like, also another problem is that back then when we saw a cry for help, it was like really visible.
It had to be when it was reaching its breaking point.
No, but it was visible.
Oh, okay.
Because no one, like, not enough people were sharing their emotions.
Oh.
So that when somebody was, like, somebody would say, like, when I was younger and somebody, like, in class would say that they're depressed.
Yeah.
Or a teacher would be like, why is this kid absent? And someone's like, oh, he's like depressed?
Yeah.
And like, and it was like a big deal because we didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And it must mean that like something really bad is happening. Right. So we immediately recognized the cries for help. But I don't know if this is true. But like nowadays I wonder and worry that like because a lot of people are sharing… if a kid in middle school is like, dude, I'm like depressed. I don't know if people are recognizing like true moments like where it's a cry for help.
Yes.
You know? Like I think it's easy for us to like skip over that what that person is saying, like we would skip over a post.
Oh, because it's become so common that it's like almost as if someone's saying like they have a runny nose.
Yeah, yeah.
I
wonder if it'll ever get to that point, which it would be another problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're like looking on Instagram and you see like three posts where people are saying they're sad, you're gonna start like just, oh, this person's sad and skipping over it.
Mm. And like no one's properly addressing anything.
Yeah, and I wonder if professionals worry about that as well.
Yeah.
Where they feel kind of numb to it a little bit because so many people are telling them that they're going through something.
And that like posting about it is good enough and then like they're not coming to the people who can
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I've only seen a professional once in my life.
Mm.
And by professionals, I mean like medical, like actual healthcare, like professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So I've probably mentioned it before, but I had to have a bunch of sessions with a psychiatrist and a psychologist at the same time at Stanford Medical Center. So these were real doctors. And I had like tests done and they had to talk to me and they were like naming the symptoms of like, they're like, have you in the recent few days, have you done this? And I said yes to them. And it was basically like for like manic depression. Right.
Yeah.
And literally I had somehow done all of those things. And anyways. That was the only time that where I was like literally like sitting with legit professionals. But other times I had these situations where like I would, you know, my parents would have me talking to someone, a professional, to help me because I was, you know, like they didn't understand what was going on with my emotions.
Mm.
And it would be like a pastor at some church.
Yeah.
And he's giving me all the wrong advice. You know?
Yeah.
At points calling me a sinner. Which is seriously like the worst thing you can possibly do to some kid who's trying to figure things out.
Like putting their problems onto them.
Yeah. And also just labeling emotions with good and bad. Or
yeah.
Good and evil. This doesn't work. That's not how you do that. Right? And I'm like, this guy's not a professional. And I would be in a situation where someone would pretend to be a professional because they're like, you know, they're like an adult or something.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they were a PE teacher. You know?
Physical like, health.
Yeah. And, yeah. And they're not certified to be dealing with the mind. But they try, and I mean, kudos for trying, but you're not going to get the best advice.
Yeah.
Right? And another thing is, after I became like a known person here, I had manic depression before I started. So obviously, I'm going to deal with it even after I started music, right? Mm-hmm. And there were moments where I really needed help, like professional help. And the thing is, my label would advise me. Well, they had to advise me because they were worried for me. But what they would tell me is, if I go see someone, even though it's going to have to be kept confidential, and even though that's the way it should be, it's unfortunately not going to be a guarantee.
Yeah.
Because people will see you walking in and out. Someone working there will see you, even if the doctor is not the one. And at the time when I was talking about this with the label, that was a while, like a long time ago. So, like having that, you know, public knowledge would not be very good.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a stigma, and that prevented me from going to someone, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to work it out on my own.
And that it would like hurt you to even seek help.
Yeah. Amazingly enough, I did work it out on my own.
Bless.
But that's a blessing.
Yeah.
I was just lucky. I'm still not even sure if I did, really.
Yeah.
Luckily, my sister like studied clinical psychology before she studied law. So like she's able to kind of talk to me on both sometimes. But you know, she's not around anymore. She's like in Virginia.
Oh.
Which is very far away from Seoul.
Yes.
But yeah, like a lot of times I felt like, you know, I couldn't get help for all the wrong reasons. And like that totally sucks. And to this day, a lot of you know, I told you a lot of people call me to maybe like get a number for like a professional.
Because
they feel like I would know.
Yeah.
Right? And the first thing they'll say is, do you know anyone I can talk to on the down low?
Yeah.
Privately, confidentially. When that should be a given.
Yes.
That's actually a legal given.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's the first thing that they say, even when it's something so simple like, you know, just being too tired even, you know, like just medical conditions. And they are afraid that it might, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just weird. And that's just not right. And that's sad. But even if you're not like… You know, I'm talking about celebs. But even if you're not… Like I'm sure a ton of people are like… I don't want my parents to know.
Yeah.
You know that was one of my biggest fears too. Like when I was seeing the psychiatrist and the psychologist… I didn't just tell my parents.
You know? Yeah.
I was afraid that they would find out. And then eventually I did tell them and they got mad at me.
There you go.
Yeah, they got mad at me for being me.
Yeah.
And I just didn't understand. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't want to be this way. Do you think I enjoy that I have to tell you this? I don't. And that was their way of like… dealing with it too. They just didn't understand. It's not like they were trying to be evil.
Yeah.
Or mean. It's just they just did not understand how to react. Because they were never taught in their time… how to deal with people that are going through an emotional problem.
And that it's something to deal with.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah. And depression and like all of this anxiety, these aren't inventions.
Yes.
You know, these were around like…
It's in your DNA.
Yeah. These
it's,
were around when we yeah. were like, you know, discovering fire. Yes. It was around. Mm. The only things that are inventions are the terms for it. And the words and the ways we can like diagnose it.
Yeah.
And the ways we can maybe treat it.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's always been there. Right? Why do you think we have like so many crazy stories from Hollywood back in like the 50s and you know, the like early Hollywood?
What do you mean? Like people going off the walls or like what?
Yeah, there are like crazy like off the wall stories.
Yeah.
And it's because like, you know, people still went through all this. Like they still had anxiety, all these problems. But we didn't even have the terms for it.
And then like the public would only see like the crazy symptoms of the problem.
And because of that, like imagine like what these child actors were going through. Right? Like even with Home Alone.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine.
Yeah.
And this kid has no way… Well, he's older than me. So I shouldn't…
Whoa. 선배.
I think he's older than me. Well, he probably had no idea what he was feeling at times. Right?
Yeah.
And no one else was able to recognize it either. You know what I mean?
And like who was even supposed to like relate to such a extraordinary like circumstance?
Yeah. I'm glad now we can all be at least be on the wavelength where we can understand what someone is going through.
Yeah.
Like we can just throw out a word and enough people can agree that that's a problem. But wow, like imagine like Roman times, dude.
Julius Caesar.
Like Julius Caesar's like sitting there. And someone's like, yo, you're Julius. Well, they wouldn't say yo, and then off with his head. They'd be like, what did they call him?
선배.
They're like, they're like, 선배님, 선배님. 시저,
사장님.
시저,
대표님.
시저 대표님. 시저 대표님. 시저 선배님. And Caesar's like, what?
Yeah.
And they're like, You look rather despondent tonight.
You're like you dissociated through all the beheadings.
you've been so strong so far.
Yeah.
Conquering the world, and now I see you staring at the moon quite often. With what I feel, am I right? Is that a tear in your eye?
He's like, no, shut up.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Off with his head.
It's just like…
And another person dragged off. And Caesar's like, I don't want to be doing this too. I just killed 15 of my, you know, servants.
Yeah.
For asking how I feel. And it's because I don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
I feel all this anxiety and all this pressure. And I feel like someone's going to betray me. But I can't figure out who. And this person's like… I think Brutus is gonna backstab you.
He's my bro. We slap like, each literally. Other all day.
And you're like, dude, are you talking shit about my bro? Off with his head. Another guy dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Caesar literally gets stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
And imagine like just any of those like historical periods where they were like… Like imagine how confused you… Like let's say primitive times. Okay?
Yeah.
You're out there fighting mammoths. Like struggling with a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
You come home with the meat. And you're like cooking it. And all of a sudden you feel like none of this matters. Feel like you're putting your life on the line every single day.
Yeah.
And like… Nothing is changing. You're like nothing is right, and you like something is wrong here, but you don't even know what it is. Like, why am I having feelings? What is going on here?
Yeah, you look at your cave paintings and you realize it doesn't look nearly half as good as like so and so's paintings next to yours, and you're like, why do I even bother?
Why do I even bother
documenting how I hunted today?
Yeah, and like, why am I hunting at all?
Yeah, for real.
You're like,
I'm so tired.
You kill this mammoth, and then in the middle of it, like, you've done this 100 times, but for some reason today, you're looking at the dead mammoth or dying mammoth whimpering, and you feel this rush of something which is guilt, but you don't even know, you don't even have a word for it yet. So you don't even know what you're feeling. You don't know why you feel this way. You feel like you've sinned, but you don't even have a word for sin. You don't have words. So you're just like…
You barely have fire.
And you don't even have a wheel yet. So you go back to your cave and you're with your like brethren and your family. And you don't even know how to tell them what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Right? And you feel like if you do, they will stone you.
Yeah.
It trips me out. Like
if anything, they had more right to be more stressed.
Yeah.
No toilet.
Constant fear of death.
Yeah. But in like a violent way.
Yeah, in a like where like the
that's anxiety.
Where the easiest way to go is a saber-toothed tooth like going through your torso.
Yeah.
Is like probably the most pleasant way. Not a bad way to go. Because the other options you have is a mammoth stepping on you or a rival army coming in and just destroying you and just destroying your family in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that's stress, dude.
I hope they call.
If I was doing Teen Reach,
they're
like, hello. I'm like, yep, this is Teen Reach. How can I, please tell me like whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, dude, a mammoth trampled like my entire, like everyone I know gone. And I've just been chased by a saber-toothed tiger. And I've discovered this beautiful flower. It was huge. And I touched it and I burned my hand. I think you're talking about fire, dude. You're not supposed to touch it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Just imagine like how heavy that conversation would have been.
Yes.
And I would be like, okay, this is something to be very stressed about.
Yes.
I can totally recognize that this guy is going through a ton. Right? But nowadays, some of the source of our anxieties or the source of our like sadness or loneliness is really hard to pinpoint, ironically.
Yeah.
It's become easier to diagnose it. It's become easier to talk about it. But for some reason, it's become more difficult to recognize it as a real problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Where it's not good enough to just say,
yeah,
that's how you feel.
How ironic is that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you tell your parents that that TikTok is the reason why you've become depressed?
Yeah.
How do you even explain that to them? Like, how do you explain something happened on TikTok or something? And
it's legitimate. Like, yeah, and it's a real problem.
Yeah, and it's a legit… Yeah. Like, how do you even, like, explain it to them? It would be like a caveman trying to explain to other cavemen about, like, what he felt when he killed a mammoth.
Yeah.
It was just… It's just hard to do so.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I find that kind of, like, ironic and also… Yeah.
But yeah, but you know, it seems to be more than just like certain things triggering those type of feelings. Definitely, there's much more platform to figure out, have a conversation, hear other people's stories. Because I think one of those things is probably like a big part of why, like, you know, people might have not called you. Mm-hmm. Was because they're thinking like this is such a weird, unique situation that only applies to me, and how is a person on the phone supposed to even you know,
yeah,
possibly relate or even like fathom. But then you realize, obviously, when people are a little bit more open about it, how fathomable it is, you know?
You know what's really sad is that, like, I think I've said it before. Yeah, probably have. But like, Mithra and Tukas have never said that they are sad.
Mm.
I've never heard them ever say to anyone that they are sad. Like, I am sad. Na 슬퍼. In 17, 18 years. Do you know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
The amount of time we spent together and they… I have never heard them utter those words. So, you know, some things haven't completely, you know, changed or gotten better. Right?
Yeah.
Like these are… These guys would not call my teen reach.
Yeah.
Right? And Mithra… I don't know. I haven't asked Mithra, but like Tukas, I actually asked him. I was like, you know, you realize you never, ever really talk about like your inner world or emotions. It's almost as if you don't have one, right? And you know, yeah. Do you realize that one day that could like come crashing down? Like you should talk about it sometimes. And I was like, you've never said you're sad. And he's like, I'm not. And I'm like, see, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, how could you never be sad? And he's like, I really have never been… I'm not sad.
There we go.
He's like…
I mean,
when I get angry,
true.
you don't see it? And I'm like, oh, I see it. And he's like, yeah, when I get angry, I say it.
That's true.
Or when I get like… 짜증나 or bored, I will say it. But I'm just…
And now
I don't
he's
know.
Like mad at you.
I'm like, just not sad.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. But I have seen him cry. A couple of times. So usually when he's like done something wrong to me and needs to get out of that situation. I'm kidding. But I saw him once like cry. Like when they're drunk, they cry sometimes.
Yeah, that's when it comes out.
Which is even more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because… Well, I do that too all the time. But like that's even more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like… That's what you need to cry. Like three bottles of tequila and a ton of limes. And just…
so many limes.
And so many like tapas. Like plates of tapas. Like we have to spend this much money.
Like piles of those little umbrellas.
For you to cry. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like it's even more heartbreaking when that happens.
Yeah.
And
I think then, just as if for anyone like listening, like just as valuable as it's been for being able to express, maybe it's just as important to be expressing to others that, like in general, like you're an open ear.
Yeah.
That you're willing to accept, and it's not like going to be a burden if someone tries to.
That's
you
a
know?
Good point.
Like if people are too scared of a hotline, just letting people know, like in general, like you know, I can be that hotline or whatever type of thing.
Yeah. Anyways, guys. You continue to like talk to me when you need to, and I will try to listen. But definitely, you need to like if you really feel like you need concrete help, you need to find concrete solutions. And usually, it's only possible through like an actual. Professional. So,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll meet a professional who's just very unprofessional.
Yes.
And not very good at all. And if that happens, don't be like, but this person's a professional. There's no way that this person's like advice feels wrong, but he's got a degree on his wall. Maybe he must be right. Don't ever think that.
Mm.
Don't ever think that if you can
something's not
sense
right.
That something is wrong, you gotta make a change immediately.
Yeah.
But also don't go to the person that just tells you what you want to hear. It's not easy, but you know we all gotta try. Anyways, I'll see you guys next week on the Tableau podcast. Please recommend the podcast to anybody that you feel needs it. And thank you for listening. Bye.